I'm Andrew.
And I'm Chris. We're the host of True Believers, a comic book podcast, our weekly show about all things comics.
Welcome to episode 36 of True Believers. Last week, we read Sleepless by Sarah Vaughan and Layla Del Duca, one of the two. And this week, we read last year's DC Pride special.
The first DC Pride special features LGBTQIA+ characters from all corners of DC's ever-expanding universe, including cameos by fan favorites Batwoman, Renee Montoya, Alan Scott, Midnighter, Apollo, Extraño, Poison Ivy, Harley Quinn, Constantine, and more.
And more. Like,
period. And more.
And more. Like, everything about this was so good. Every single story was good. All the characters were good. I loved this. Every single one.
I had such a good time. Like, when I read it last year, I honestly had such a good time. I've been really appreciating all these cultural anthologies that Marvel and DC have. Well, that DC has been doing. Marvel, the only ones I really liked were their Pride one and their Indigenous Voices. I'm not really 100% sure how I felt about Indigenous Voices. I just liked that it pissed people off. I thought the stories were good and people were mad.
I love all these little specials that they're doing like this. They make me so happy because they're little just short stories about characters being characters. And this one in particular, you know, just Gazer, like, it is what we need.
The thing that is so egregious about it, though, is that most of these characters, like, never show up. Like, you know, if they could all have ongoing, they could all be on a team, you know, like, that's a big oversight. Yeah. I feel like at a certain point, they're cloud chasing. But on the other hand, these are characters I like, so I'm furious.
Sometimes the clout chasing is okay when it benefits what I want, you know what I mean?
When it's what I want to see, I want the clout okay to be it. Chased. Like, last year's Marvel, the narrator was David Prodigy. So I was like, now y'all know. Anyway, I'm gonna read it though.
It's like, you know, you didn't need to do this, but I'm glad you did.
No, it's like, you know, you could have done something better, but I'll take it. Since it's on the table.
Yeah, no. I know. This one's so good. It starts off with Kate Kane and Alice, and that's a traumatizing story, first of all. But they made it, I don't even want to say cute because it was still kind of traumatizing, but they made it like sweeter. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And she was, the way that she flipped the script on Mad Hatter, and she was like, look, bitch, just because you suck. No, she didn't say that. She was like, you know, it can be hard to feel accepted. And I was like, period, Kate. You know, I think we've all been outcasts. You know, we are all minorities in Glee Club. sorry, I had to get that joke off. And then we just got straight vibes because I have not seen Extraño in literal years. I was like, okay, yeah. He's at the bar with John Constantine.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, wait, when did he come back? And then, well, when it gets to the end, when we get to the end, like, that, the whole ending is so good with him.
The ending, like, first of all, what I really love about all these specials, especially like what DC did with the Asian Celebration Festival of Heroes, they all gonna have a massive team up at the end.
That's my favorite part whenever I'm reading these, and because I know at the end is we're gonna get this big team up with everybody. It's gonna be like this big cultural thing. I love it. Like, it's just so good. I love it.
And if Marvel really knows, Marvel and DC both, actually, because I really want to be baited. In June, they should put out a Juneteenth special. Or like February, you know, either way, I'm cool. I want to be baited too. I was, you know, just get all the fly black women characters. Just get them out there. I guess them in too, but I want to see what I want to see.
Yeah, we had why can't I think of her name? The Future State Flash.
Yes, she's so cute. Her name is Future State Flash.
You know, it doesn't matter. But she's so cute. It's just like, I love that story. That one was a cute one. They had a new Mirror Master named Reflect. Like, it was giving everything that the Flash gives, but in the future and gay. You know.
Oh, actually,
that's what's important.
The Future State Flash is Jess Chambers, who is non-binary. So I guess they
probably use
they/them pronouns. That's our bad. We did not read Future State Flash. It was one of those things we skipped.
It was one of the things that we were like, okay, we'll get to it eventually, and never got to it.
Yeah, we're fake like that. I also, you know, I love the new Aquaman. So I was really excited to see Jackson front and center. I was like, period, Jackson. Period. Because Aquaman, like, does not get the respect that he deserves. Regular Aquaman, I mean, Arthur. AC doesn't get the respect he deserves. So I'm glad to see the people following his footsteps, like Jackson and Andy, his daughter in the future state. I'm glad to see them getting the respect. Put some respect on their name.
I know. Which one? I was going to say that about Aqua Lad at the end. It was, I think my favorite story, even though I was most excited for Dreamer's story, because that was a big deal, you know. But I think the Aqua Lad one at the end was my favorite one.
My favorite one, it was the one with Obsidian and Green Lantern, because I don't know why I was reading it and I was like, the first time I read it, like now I'm a G, but the first time I was like, oh my gosh, not your father telling you that not only are you the bravest person he's ever met, you inspired him to be brave too. I was like, oh, I can't take this. I'm crying. I can't take this.
Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah, that one was such a heartwarming story. It was good. But the Dreamer one, well, I was so excited for this one.
It was fun. It was like a standard superhero one shot. I love it.
Yeah, and this was written by the girl who plays Dreamer, you know, in like the Supergirl show. And she's like the first transgender superhero, and she's transgender in real life. Like, it is so good, the story was. I was so into it. I was so excited for this. I was like, come on, Nicole Maines, because that's her name.
I was trying not to say anything because I was 100% convinced her name was Natalie Maines.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not right.
That's what I was doing with The Flash too, because I was like, I'm pretty sure their name is Jess, but I kept wanting to say Jesse Quick, and I was like, that's a different Flash. Like,
different Flash.
Yeah, I was getting confused, but.
Oh, I like the story with Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy. I thought that was sweet, you know.
I forgot about that one.
And then Pied Piper sticking it to the rich, as we should. What else happened?
Normally with Pied Piper, I'm just not into it. I think Pied Piper like is so dumb. But I love that story. That one, he was like, we're going to take down a landlord, this corrupt guy, and I'm going to help you out. It was a good story. It was cute.
Yeah. You know, I think people who can control people's minds, I think that's a creepy power to have.
It's questionable at best.
And then, you know, I associate the phrase Pied Piper with the evil king of R&B. So I was like, oh, ew. Like, as a little kid, I was not even that as a little kid, but, you know, middle school, I was like, oh, no, skip.
Yeah, the Pied Piper, it's a thing. I've never been into it, but I was into this story at least. Because they weren't making him all crazy, evil. You know, this was actually like a steal from the rich, give to the needy type of thing.
You know what? As we all should. And then the story with Extraño talking to Constantine. First of all, I was like, it's Extraño. And then I was like, oh God, not John Constantine, the inventor of the bad idea.
It was so funny because, you know, he's sitting in the bar talking to the bartender, and I was like, oh, what's going to happen in this one? And then all of a sudden Constantine walks in, and I was like,
what horrible thing is about to happen in this one?
What are we about to do? But it wasn't even bad.
The sad thing is that we are big Constantine fans. We love Constantine. We're used to it. We're like, oh, God.
I do love Constantine. It's just, you know, when he shows up, it's going to be some shit that follows.
Antics and bullshit. That's what it is.
It is. This man has the worst karma. Like, he deserves it. Like, he definitely has that coming, but...
And you know what? To be fair, I personally love it. I think Constantine is so funny. Literally scammed his way out of not dying from cancer. He's an icon for that.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, he doesn't need to be on the team because he's going to fuck up the whole team if he's there. Because that karma follows him.
He's going to bone the whole team. That's what he's
going to
do.
Well, that part, too. Boy, girl, shark, he's going to do it all.
Are we ever going to be over that? I don't think as a society, nobody can get past the King Shark thing.
You can't, because...
Once I heard that, I said, what? And just the fact that they were like, oh, ew, Harley Quinn. And then he was like, no, what? I'm not crazy. And then I was like, I know that's not King Shark.
What was it? Was it King Shark that they were talking to? And then they were like, is that your ex over there? And then they look over and it's John Constantine? Or is it the other way around?
I think John Constantine was like, oh my God, my ex is here. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Cause it was in a cartoon that I watched. He's like, oh my God, my ex is here. And they were like, ew, Harley. He was like, no, I'm not crazy.
And it's King Shark. Yeah.
That's like what it was. Shark. Also, did you know sharks have like two penises apparently?
Yeah. It's a very John Constantine thing to do.
I just, you know, also John Constantine, the story that Extanya was telling him was about how he went monster slaying with the Midnighter. And this reinforces what I've been saying for years, that if they should never make a live action Authority, because I don't think they could cast a fine enough man to play Midnighter.
I don't think they have like a rating strong enough to handle a Midnighter show.
No, I want the whole Authority. So, you know, it's going to be triple X rated.
Yeah. It's, you know, that's a brutal.
But hey, I watched somebody get beaten to death. Well, the insinuation is somebody got beaten to death with a bowling ball on Daredevil. So, you know, anything is possible.
It's true. And remember how Titans started off? I know you don't watch it, but it started off with like Robin just dragging this guy's face through broken glass. And I was like, what the fuck?
I only watched the first episode. So
you did see that.
Is that literally how it started?
Yeah, it's like the first 5-10 minutes or so.
Oh my God. Maybe like, that's why I Batman. Stopped watching that.
It's a good enough reason. Oh, I know, but yeah, I don't think they could handle an Authority show
for
a movie.
Wait. And then, like, from this special, it finally clicked in my mind that Extraño must be appearing somewhere semi-normally, because he was telling Constantine, he was like, oh, I've got a husband. He's like a werewolf. And I was like, what? I was like, did is that a thing I forgot? Or like, are you somewhere now?
Oh my God, who's his husband? I can't remember.
And then he showed up at the end and I was like, oh my, it was like the thing from Men in Black where he was like, oh my God, we got a bug. Imagine a 45-foot tall cockroach. And we were both like, oh my God, he's a 45-foot tall cockroach. That's how I felt when I saw the werewolf man. I was like, oh.
It was Tasmanian Devil. That's who it's called. I just looked it up.
That's even worse. Those things are so creepy looking.
He's a giant wolf-like creature from Australia.
Well, of course he is. He's a Tasmanian Devil.
My thing is, like, why? Why would you? Like, you're borderline furry. I don't even know if that's borderline. I think you're just a furry at that point.
I don't think that's being a furry. I think that's, like, bestiality.
You know what?
This was supposed to be a nice, wholesome episode. supposed to be as inoffensive as we possibly could today.
Okay, listen. When you're fucking a giant thing, werewolf creature. A werewolf is one thing, because that's human. But this...
I don't know. We discussed in episode 10, remember when we were talking to Alana, I think being into a werewolf kind of makes you a furry. Even if they're not like a werewolf all the time, they kind of are. They're like a wolf person.
You're right. Yeah. I don't even know what to follow up with that. That's just...
So Renee Montoya... Question story was so cool. I would like to see, you know, more prominence for Question in the media. Who I really would have liked to see in this or even in this year's, which, you know, I don't say in the same vein that I don't watch movie trailers. I don't read announcements for upcoming things. I choose everything based off of covers and vibes. So I would like to see Anissa Pierce and Grace Choi in some form.
Yeah. Okay. I see you. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Thank you. And then, of course, you know, we got to have Aquaman in there. Jackson Hyde, he had Aquaman to becoming. He became. Now we have Aquaman. He need to be front and center. I don't want to see John Kent, because you know how I feel about him. Like, I already liked first Superboy. I liked first Superboy too much. And then they announced John. And I was like, why do we need another Superboy? I don't care. Go away. And then I was like, oh, well, he's friends with Damian. You know, Damian needs a friend. And then he became an adult. And now it's like, everywhere you see John, I'm like, where is Khan?
Yeah, I get you.
I'm still not. And then I don't want to see Tim Drake either, because he's my least favorite Robin, regardless.
You know what? I've actually recently discovered that I actually like Tim Drake. I don't know why, because he kind of sucks, but I've grown to like him recently.
You know what's crazy? The reason people don't like Tim for weird reasons, they'll be like, oh, he's the boring Robin. He does this XYZ. I don't think Tim is boring at all. I think Tim is insane. I think he's crazy.
I was going to say
the people say about Jason, No. Jason, he died and came back wrong and then just went on to do a bunch of crazy stuff. Tim tried to clone his best friend.
But yeah.
I like Tim, you can't ever walk back from that. I was like, you did what? He did what?
I think if you're going to be a Robin, you have to have a lot of psychological problems just to deal with Bruce alone. So I see where he's coming from. I'm going to let it slide. Probably shouldn't, but I'm going to let it slide.
I don't know. I just said I don't want to see them. I know they're going to be front and center, so I just want to get that out. I don't want to see y'all. Can't wait to see you.
I'm cool. We'll see you. I don't know where this recently happened within the past week. I was like, you know what? Tim's actually kind of a bad guy. I've been like shitting on him for years. For what reason? He's just trying to exist. Because can you imagine just having to deal with Bruce Wayne every day?
I mean, though, imagine like the people who deserve the most credit for dealing with it, honestly, are Damian and Dick Grayson. Because, like,
I would say Damian.
No, because Dick was like, imagine your parents get killed in front of a whole bunch of people. You get adopted by a strange rich guy. You're like 9 or 10 years old. And then you have to grow to adulthood with this man as your father figure. Like, Dick is an adult and he has to resolve all the psychological problems from his childhood. Damian, you know, you grew up in the League of Assassins. You got different problems, but Damian could turn it around. Like, Dick is like 30. He got to figure it all out now. Damian's still a child.
Yeah, but Dick, he was a police officer and everything. So he can go to therapy. They get free therapy, right? But Damian, his mom is Talia and his dad is Bruce. Like, that in itself is its own problem.
I think it'd be kind of cool if I don't know, I feel like the way that Talia is written is like really racist, because she never used to be like a villain. I was like, when did this start? Like, when did she become outwardly villainous? She used to be like an anti-hero.
She's a whole assassin.
So
murdering people's not good. I don't know if we had to have this, but that's a bad thing. You don't want that as your mom.
Okay, well, in Suicide Squad, we got the whole Suicide Squad is a amoral team working for the greater good.
When have I ever said that they were good? Those are not good people.
They're not, but I'm saying, like, you know, I don't know what my point is, but I'm saying she was just, you know, I feel like it's racially motivated. And also, you know who else should be in the next LGBT special? Catwoman.
Period. Always.
And they should let Zoe Kravitz write it.
So, the last story, though, with Aqualad and... Who's the other guy? What was his name?
You know, I don't even know. I wasn't paying attention to him.
It was like Niall or something, wasn't it?
No. I don't know, maybe. I'm gonna keep it real with you, Chief. I bought the first cover that just has literally everybody else except Aqualad on it, and I got to the end and I was like, actually, no, I didn't even buy it. I borrowed it from somebody because I was like, oh, you got this, can I read it? And then we're like, yeah, because I'm fake. And I got to the end and I was like, Aqualad. I was so shocked that he was even there. This is why I tell people to wait for the variant cover.
He was there front and center too. Whenever I like got to that page, I was like, I know Christian was so excited to see this. I just felt it in the force.
My boy. Also, Eclipso showed up. That was crazy because at the time, Eclipso was announced to be like the main villain on the next season of Stargirl. So I was like, okay, we're keeping Eclipso in the forefront of people's minds. Yeah, it's some guy named Sil with a butterfly on his chest.
I love it.
Also, I think he's wearing a thong.
Probably because they were at Pride. It's just what you do.
Maybe that's what you do. Whenever I go anywhere, I keep all my clothes on.
It doesn't look like he's wearing a thong. I just pulled him up.
Okay, looks like he's got on shorts. That's a fanny pack.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Because I was like, sir, you got on like thong? A thong?
I like this, though. He's got like a crop top and a fanny pack and some shorts because they're at Pride. You know, Jackson's wearing his usual outfit because.
Jackson has on flip-flops. That's the thing that's the most unrealistic about the way that that Jackson Hyde is portrayed. Because, Andrew, you've met many Black American men, right?
I've met a lot, yeah.
I wasn't even trying to be funny. Yeah, most Black men would die before showing their feet, like in any context. So whenever I see him and I see his feet outside of him, like literally swimming, I'm always like shocked.
The thing is, Yeah, no, his, why would you even, first, flip-flops, right? You can't even, like, barely run flip-flops. How are you going to be a superhero in flip-flops? You can't fight in those.
No, it's what just the fact that he mounted an entire defense and was literally leaping and jumping at, to fight Eclipso.
Right. Fuck Eclipso, though, honestly. That's a side note. Because he just shows up to, like, he curses rain on the people's rain. Parade. Literally. And then, like, makes people have their traumatized memories because it's a group of gays, you know? They grow up traumatized. It is what it is. And then, yeah, it's just so shitty. Fuck Eclipso. And then...
Exactly.
So this new, like, Seal... Seal? I don't even know how you say that. S-Y-L? Seal? He, like... He's being trained by Raven, is that right? Or is it Extron?
Yes. His name is Sylvan, a.k.a. Seal Ortega. He's a young magician and a student of the great Gregorio de la Vega. So...
Next Gregorio, time. Okay. My bad. I don't know. This story was so good, though, because he runs away to go get more help, and then they show up, and then he's, like, with a bunch of other gays, Gregorio is. And he says it's the JLQ, the Justice League Queer. I was like, y'all are just doing a lot right now.
But you know what? Extraño is, like, 40 plus, you know? So, of course he's corny. That's what happens when you start to approach middle age.
I was feeling it. I was like, this is really just on the nose, but I was loving it. I was
it made me laugh. I'm not gonna lie.
I know. And somebody, I think it was Batwoman, was like, JLQ, really? That's what we're going with?
I think it was his husband. I'm pretty sure. He was like, really, Gregorio? Really?
Oh, I don't remember. It was so funny, though. I love this story. You know, this Kay one was
Kane,
so cute.
Kay Kane is from Gotham. She does not show up to get the laughs out. She tells her one joke. You know, she's not rebutting no joke. She says one joke and then she's like, where's the Joker?
Where's the Joker? That's funny as fuck. But honestly, on that note, yeah, nobody in Gotham has like, chill? If they say, well, except Dick. He has jokes. He's going to talk shit the entire week.
No, all the Robins, they got jokes. They're just mean-spirited.
Damien doesn't. He's like, I'm gonna kill first, ask questions later.
Damien is just gonna taunt you in that internal monologue. I respect that.
Me too, honestly.
What I love.
What is that one thing that's like? Sorry, what were you saying?
Oh no, are you gonna talk about the Asian superhero celebration thing where he was kicking those assassins' ass in the pizza shop, and he was like, "I take everything from my grandfather, my mother, my father, even my chosen siblings." And then I was like, "You're fighting in a."
I forgot all about that. Honestly, see, this is the kind of trauma you grow up with whenever you grow up in the League of Assassins. What else do we have to say about this? I just think it was great. I wish we had more time to talk about it, but. We just don't.
You know,
everything was good.
The it's best
gay
thing that we yeah, go gays. The best thing that we can sum it up for is like the quote at the end when they were like, "This is what we're fighting for: the right to be in the world, visible and unafraid." There are going to be bad days, and we'll lead the fight for everyone that follows us. We're also following the people who fought for us, and we owe it to them to make the most of days like this. We're not just sharing this fight. We're showing our pride.
Period. Just like that.
Period.
I hope they keep making these. Like, every year we should have some kind of... We should have them, like, every month, personally. But I know I'm asking for a lot there, but we need more of these. I love these.
Every year... I'm still not over the fact that one of the executives at Marvel Comics said that diversity was ruining the comic book industry a few years ago. And then they had the nerve to send me an email titled Wakanda Forever after Black Panther made its first $1 billion. So every year I want 87 of these anthologies coming out. I want them for Black people. I want them for Asian people, gay people. I almost said white people, but every month is white people.
I was about to say that's every comic book, Christian. I don't know if you ever picked up a story, but I don't know. I love them. I just hope they keep doing them, especially with like Nicole Maines writing her own story now after being the first transgendered character. I was like, this is so good. Like, finally, y'all are doing something right.
Exactly. Maybe and now fair, the guy who played the Riddler in the Batman, he's writing a Riddler Year One, which is cool. I hope they continue that. I like to see actors having the opportunity to. Get deeper into the world of comic books. You know, I like the idea that comic books are becoming for everybody. Like, we can have that instead of I thought the comic books was going to be a dying form because it didn't seem like new people were getting in comic books. It didn't seem like they were being offered to young people anymore. And I'm glad that we've created so many paths that so many people can fall in love with something that I love. And, you know, that we can show that people should be able to love who they love.
I agree. And I want to follow up on that too, especially those characters or those actors that are playing these characters, because they immerse themselves in these roles and they get to know these characters. So why aren't they writing these stories? You know, they know these characters better than a lot of people will. Yeah, but see, that's why these people should be writing these stories. Like the Riddler, that's going to be a good one because this man knew what the Riddler was, right?
Yes, and that's why I'm telling you, Zoe Kravitz, she needs the opportunity to jump in this joint because she was out here studying cats and drinking milk from a bowl. I think her Catwoman story would be heat.
I agree, 100%. So, yeah, come on, Zoe Kravitz. DC, let her do this if she wants to. I want her to.
Yes, and I'm so excited to see what we're going to see in this year's Pride specials for both Marvel and DC. Especially DC, because, I mean, you kind of set the bar with this one.
You did, and we're going to read these too because I'm way into these anthologies, so...
Yeah. And I think that's all for this week's episode of True Believers. You got anything else to say or are we good?
Nope, we're good. So thank you for all your support and we will see you next week.
All right. Well, we are available on all major streaming platforms. And if you really like the show, please leave us a review and continue sharing with your friends. We really appreciate it. And as always, if you want to leave a suggestion on what we read or watch, you can find and DM us on social media. You can email us, leave us a voicemail at 650-761-2629, as long as you're not going to chant at me in Cantonese, or join our Discord.
Or breathe heavily into the phone because that has happened way too many times. So, goodbye, everybody.
Bye.